Well, Ethan Bronner of the New York Times said on this program about 2.5 weeks ago that this would all be over by the inauguration of Barack Obama. And indeed, that is what has appeared to come to pass, although, as Adora says, the fragile ceasefire is holding only for the moment. But as late as January 16th, Condoleezza Rice was still doing last-minute diplomacy.
America is not without its ability to make mistakes like anyone can. But it is also a country that tries to do the right thing. Not always the easy thing, but the right thing.
Sounding as though she's saying goodbye, but in very many ways, both on the foreign front and on the economic front, this will be a handoff in the end zone for the Bush team to the Obama team, as there are many serious issues in the midst of all the pomp and circumstance that Obama was in the middle of yesterday.
There is no doubt that our road will be long, that our climb will be steep, but never forget that the true character of our nation is revealed not during times of comfort and ease, but by the right we do when the moment is hard.
The moment is hard, and to help us explain what's going on in this moment, beneath all the pomp and circumstances, our very own Todd Zwillick in Washington from Capital News Connection, fully credentialed for the inauguration ceremonies. Todd, what signs are there even now in the midst of the party atmosphere in Washington that the moment is hard and that the serious business of governing this week is going to emerge full scale once the inauguration is over?
Well, the biggest sign, the most obvious sign, is how packed the schedule is just as soon as the pomp and circumstance is done with, John. You have House hearings scheduled for Wednesday noon. Before the House even reconvenes officially, House committees will start processing and crunching the numbers on that big $825 billion stimulus, which we wouldn't need if things weren't extraordinarily hard, as you mentioned. So they get right down to work even before the House officially convenes Wednesday.
Now, we've seen that Barack Obama has a significant amount of momentum in mobilizing congressional majorities for his legislative initiatives in a couple of instances last week. But what's the chance that the Republicans are going to make a stand on the stimulus package here?
Well, it's the chances are pretty good. They're going to try to make a stand on it, I would imagine. But let's before we get down to it, let's look at the raw numbers. 256 Democrats, 178 Republicans, and one vacancy, Rahm Emanuel's seat in Illinois. That's nearly an 80-vote swing. So Republican opposition to this, if Democrats hold together, and on the stimulus they will hold together, Republican opposition is going to be largely symbolic. But they have been starting to make noises and trying to poke holes in the advisability of this stimulus. John Boehner's office, the Republican leader, has started putting out somewhat humorous missives about the size of the stimulus and what you could buy for the money. Give you a couple of examples. They put out a list the other day. They called it a dozen fun facts about the House Democrats' massive spending bill. $825 billion is enough to give every man, woman, and child in America $2,700 cash. We'll write you a check, and it would be the exact same thing.
See, I would have hoped it had been more than that. I would have hoped it had been more than $2,700. That's kind of sad.
Like an even
$3,500,
maybe?
Maybe $5,000. I don't know.
$825 billion, that's enough to give – John Boehner's from Ohio. It's enough to give every person in Ohio $72,000, and on and on. And some of them are substantive. They're starting to point out some of the aspects of the bill that they don't feel are stimulative. This is supposed to be directly creating or preserving jobs. There's $650 million in the bill for digital TV coupons, you know, for the high-definition switch.
Sure.
Not a bad idea, but is it stimulative? Who knows?
Yeah.
So they're starting to point these things out.
All right. Two more things before we go. S-CHIP, that's the, child health care initiative that passed overwhelmingly in the House. The Senate's going to take it up. Is that a no-brainer? And what evidence do we have that Middle East policy is going to be front and center anytime this week?
It is a no-brainer. The Senate will pass it. I'm not sure if they'll get to it next week. There may not be time, but if not, they'll get to it the week after. And it's likely to be the one of the first, if not the first, bill that Obama signs into law as president. Mideast policy, I haven't seen any hearings scheduled. Hillary Clinton's nomination has been cleared by the Foreign Relations Committee, so that won't come up. Her nomination will be on the floor probably by next week, but I don't know. They don't have a plan to debate it. They might just rubber stamp it. If they debate it, there might be speeches on the floor about Mideast policy, and the Senate might want to put a marker down on Gaza. So that's a possibility.
Well, it's interesting. With all this sort of congressional Johnson-style, LBJ-style negotiating between Barack Obama and congressional leaders, plus Barack Obama makes a visit to Ohio to do a kind of a bully pulpit speech on his economic stimulus, there is a lot going on in Washington. And Todd Zwillick, we're grateful that you're there in the middle of it. Thanks so much.
Well, enjoy the pomp and circumstance, John.
Despite the enormity of the task that lies ahead, I stand here today as hopeful as ever that the United States of America will endure, that it will prevail, that the dream of our founders will live on in our time.
And the dream of Martin Luther King Jr. is certainly front and center on the minds of Americans today. What do you think his dream would be if he were alive today? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.